one of the times that Jim and I have talked, one of the things that he talked about specific to information management is when you look at your relationship with the community and the relationship with the media, one of the things that he stressed for me is it's not, that relationship is not going to be based on the work that you do on a regular basis, all the successes that you have on a day-to-day basis, the quote-unquote simpler cases. It ends up being judged by those major cases, those ones that have thousands of pieces of evidence, and whether or not you manage that effectively and efficiently goes in large part to determining how the public and how the media, how successful they view you. We view FIDEX and the version that you're going to see and the version that Kevin has been using and that Mike has been using, Jim has been using, we view it as a stepping stone. And that's the idea of these presentations is we have certain capabilities now, the capability which is focused on making sure that information is shared between organizations in a very fluid way. There's also, and where we're hoping that FIDEX can evolve to, a FIDEX 2.0, if you will, is to start looking at managing some of that information where forensic data or forensic examination becomes a portion of that, but you start looking at integrating information in from multiple other data sources. So to that end, when we started looking at technically, from a technical perspective, how we wanted to design the tool, what functionality and capabilities we wanted it to have, one of the baseline requirements that we identified is we had to have multiple configurations. Every agency is in a different place, frankly, from a technical capability standpoint. You have some organizations where you have 10 police officers, and five of those might be part-time, and we wanted FIDEX to be accessible to them, as well as the major metropolitan police area. So we designed it with multiple configurations in mind. In its simplest format, it's a web-based application with a database that anyone that has access to that server and access to that particular case can receive information. All the way to the point where we implemented it with Boston Police Department, where it's actually, once you enter that incident number, it's going out, it's grabbing that information from the evidence management system. It's grabbing that information from a records management system or a booking system and creating these links electronically and everywhere in between. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we also wanted to make sure that this did not compel any particular workflow. When we take a look from a data exchange standpoint as at the kind of information that agencies wanted to collect, there was a lot of consistency between agencies. There was wide variations in terms of the specific workflow. So we wanted to make this thing workflow agnostic, if you will. And we also wanted to build an open system. So if you have developers, if you have those internal IT resources that are capable of expanding and extending the functionality of the tool, they're able to. So what I would like to do, and this is always a mildly risky proposition, is actually give you a demonstration of the FIDEX tool based on one particular scenario of usage. So the concept here is kind of to follow BPD's, Boston Police Department's, way of processing a case, which essentially starts off with the detective or the crime scene team enters information into the evidence tracking tool, and then the detective may or may not take a look at that and fill out a long form by hand and say, for this piece of evidence, I'd like these examinations and so on and so forth. Now, the way that we ended up adjusting that business process is we still assume that the crime scene team or the detective is going to enter information into their evidence tracker tool. It's a legacy tool set. And what we want to do is actually import information. So what they do is they enter an incident number, hit query, and what the tool does at this point is it goes out to all interconnected systems, says, here's my incident number, give me any and all information that you have about this particular case. Now, in full disclosure, I'm running this off of my laptop, no internet or anything like that, so I'm actually pulling information just from my laptop, but the way we have BPD configured is to go out to these various systems. So once a detective opens up, or anyone else involved in the case opens up, they can see five or six tabs across the top of the screen. One of the very fundamental requirements, quite frankly, that Sergeant Markey and other police officers drilled into me is this thing has to be simple. You've got to make it simple to interface with. You do not want to overwhelm people with information. So we identified the six kind of areas of information that seem to be the most relevant, such as the request, the date and time of the incident, some basic incident location information, basic information about the offense, including offense code, and if we had a court case management system integrated into this, and it had gone to that point of actually initiating a court case, we can pull in the docket number and the current status of the court case. But probably the most important tab is the second one, the evidence tab, which is pulled in from that evidence tracking system. And one of the things, and Kevin touched on this briefly, one of the things the tool does is every night at about 1 o'clock in the morning, it goes out to ask the evidence tracking system, do you have any additional evidence associated with this case? And it's going to do that on all active cases. And if it does, it adds it to this list, and maybe even more importantly, notifies anyone associated with the case that that additional evidence has been added. So again, taking on the role of an investigator, I've got these 11 pieces of evidence, and let's say I want to add an examination. And I'm going to add it to items number 2 and 3, and I'm going to request that the lab compare the casings to the projectiles. The discipline requested is firearms, and the service requested is, we'll just pick this one. These drop-down lists are configurable, so whatever your lab has for these different areas, disciplined and services, you can certainly standardize on those and add the examination. So now the detective and anyone else associated with the case can go into the tool and see all of the examinations that have been requested on any particular piece of evidence. Now with BPD, as it is with Phoenix Police Department, one of the next steps is again, they've got to include that long form with the physical evidence. And because we have all of the information that we need for that long form, what we did is we recreated that submission form so they could electronically generate that straight from the tool. Now generating this form does a couple of things, and potentially three things. Number one, the detective would take this long form, print it out, and attach it to the physical evidence when they're transferring it over to the property and evidence room of the crime lab. They still want that piece of paper. The second thing it does is it notifies a supervisor in the crime lab that additional evidence is coming your way, giving them kind of a heads up. And if we had this hooked into a laboratory information management system, what it would also do is essentially pre-populate that management system. All the information's already been entered about the evidence. All the examination requests are there. And the idea is to avoid this need for redundant data entry where your front office clerks accept the evidence, have to rekey on all that same exact kind of information. Then from there, the idea is that the supervisor assigns a criminalist who takes over the examination. Assigning it is pretty straightforward. We pre-populate a list of people that have been assigned to it. Now Claudia has been assigned to this thing, and now she has authority to see the case. She also will receive all email notifications associated with that case. The other tabs accumulate information from other external systems. For example, the suspect in this case, Gregory Knight, was booked in on this case, and we actually grabbed this information in from the booking system, including the booking number. Case parties is where you start managing who receives notifications. So if you assign an analyst, they're automatically added as an interested party for this case. But you can also add any other number of people, whether it be detectives, whether it might include supervisors and so on and so forth. You can add other people and assign a role to these folks to make sure that they receive these automated notifications. And then finally, we also talked about needing to know about these court hearings that are coming up. So if you're interfacing with a court case management system, and they're associating, or you have a way of linking it to the incident number, which most case management systems do, you can start receiving electronic feeds of upcoming court dates for this particular case. And again, it actually has a piece of functionality in there configurable that if you've got open examinations and you've got an upcoming court event within a week, it will send everyone who's interested in that notification out an alert to say, hey, you've got something going on here. You may need to either continue the case or maybe the date has been updated or whatever. But it just gives everyone a little bit of a heads up using existing systems, using your existing email networks that you already have. Now, one of the functionalities that, quite frankly, we almost discovered by accident by talking with Boston Police Department is this need for statistical information. Even agencies that have fairly robust and sophisticated evidence tracking systems, they seem to be kind of short. These systems don't seem to be shipped with great reporting mechanisms, but we've got a lot of that information in the FIDEX tool. So a supervisor or anyone given the authority to can click on things and view in real time what is your current backlog, what kind of cases are you being requested. This information has actually been accumulated primarily from Phoenix Police Department. And so you can see for the last 6 months, APHIS requests constitute about 50% of their examination requests, which seems about right. You can also start looking at, from a managerial standpoint, where are my backlogs? What examinations have been submitted to particular analysts, and what is the status of this? And we ended up removing some of the full name of the analyst. But you can see they can see what examinations are currently open, based on who it's been assigned to, and even the color indicates the kind of examination that has been requested to that person. And I will tell you, when we ended up showing this chart to a crime lab director, they were surprised by the result. They had no idea that these kind of examinations were open. And so they found it extremely valuable. And then the last one I want to talk about is very much, it's going to take a little bit. It's doing a lot of work behind the scenes. Is very much a theoretical analysis. What we wanted to do is take a look at if we can get a list of all the evidence that is currently in the in quote unquote in the property room, which assumes that it's been put into the evidence tracking system, and compare it to examinations that have been made against that evidence. Can we take a look and identify situations where you have biological evidence that have no corresponding examinations on it, which is, as you know, one of the big issues. And what we ended up finding using a subset of data is that there are 29 cases where it seems like evidence had been collected, a rape kit had been collected, but no examination had been performed on this thing. Now, this, as with a lot of these kind of tools, it ends up giving you hints. It gives you an area to look at for potential follow-up. And in fact, we did end up following up on these, and in most cases, it was a data entry issue. It was examinations were outsourced to an external crime lab, and the results of that aren't put back into the one location that we're pulling information from. But the idea, the notion is that we might even be able to start identifying pieces of evidence that have been overlooked for whatever reason, whether it's because the victim wasn't willing to testify or the technology wasn't there, because this is the case that's 25 years old.